It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, that's right. It's time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. It's our weekly segment where we talk to Chicago area CEOs and entrepreneurs. They tell their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, let's talk automated eateries. Farmer's Fridge operates in over 130 locations across Chicago and Milwaukee. It's a business that makes handcrafted dishes at in-house kitchens and delivers them in jars to vending machines. Did I get it? I think I got it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
If you eat lunch in food courts downtown, you're very familiar with Farmer's Fridge. It's a company that's both about the product and about the delivery. The vending machine serves as a disruptor for brick-and-mortar restaurants, just smaller brick-and-mortar. The company, founded in 2013, is run by CEO Luke Saunders. Saunders has a background in sales, and as an entrepreneur, his first company was called Bears Bikes, but it's Farmer's Fridge that's turning heads, as the company has been prominently featured in national media, and Saunders was just featured in the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, and he is in studio, my guest in the Download in Chicago Business. Luke Saunders, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This concept is one that has all of the disruptor vibe that we talk about on this program all the time, this idea of starting something new, experimenting, and bringing a new concept to lunch. Where does it come from, the idea of putting salads in jars and putting them in vending machines?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It really started when I took a sales job in Michigan while my wife was in law school. And, you know, I had signed up. I wanted to get a paycheck while she was in school and learn sales. And what I didn't realize I had signed up for was just eating garbage for a few years. So it was like a lunch was a candy bar and dinner was fast food. And so I was driving 1,000 miles a week and going, I covered Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Wow.
And during that time, I was really thinking, how could I get better meals for myself?
Right.
And a lot of my clients were actually big CPG manufacturers. And so I started thinking, you know, if I could make food in this really efficient way, you know, how could I get it to people faster? Because really, at the end of the day, it's the reason a candy bar is a candy bar is it takes a couple months to get it to you. So it has to be shelf stable and still taste pretty
absolutely
good. You can't do that with a salad. So.
I'm just amazed by it because it's had such success here in Chicago and Milwaukee, but mm-hmm. in Chicago, because it really is a new concept. There are not a lot of opportunities, a lot of instances where you have seen fresh food in vending machines. Those two concepts don't go hand in hand. There have been others who have maybe tried it. Entrepreneurs have thought about it. What makes Farmer's Fridge work where others have not been able to get this concept right?
Yeah, so I would say it's two very important things. One, and most importantly, is the quality of the product. So from day one, we didn't have a lot of money. I started this business with credit cards. And at the very beginning was, how do we create a really great product that people are going to want to buy again? So it sounds really
right,
simple,
sure.
but that was
customer loyalty,
rule number one. And then in order to do that, we actually had to have a fully integrated business. So we actually build our own technology. We make the food ourselves in our own kitchen. We deliver that food to every fridge ourselves. It's obviously a branded customer experience. So from end to end, we control everything about that experience to make sure that it is really as good as it can be for the consumer.
It's amazing too, because a lot of entrepreneurs, because it's probably a difficult sell to get customers to buy in, we'll talk about that, would go that route, would do in-house kitchens and make the food themselves and try to sell it to a distributor, try to sell it to a restaurant, try to sell it to a to-go counter at the airport. Talk about why you didn't do that. Why didn't you go for what would be the more traditional route as opposed to straight to a vending machine?
Yeah, well, I think two reasons. One is in that CPG world I was living in, I saw all these distributors and retailers. And so what I really saw were middlemen and people who were taking money in the process of getting you your product. So it's like an invisible tax that the consumer is paying on everything that they eat.
Right.
And so I thought, well, if one way to have a higher quality product is to just go straight to the consumer. And that was a big part of it. So
For you, what's the most when you're at the stage where you realize that, yeah, I want to find healthier options, I can make this product and I can also distribute this product, just as how do you go about that? What I mean, you're just thinking, I'm going to build a vending machine. Talk about the process of really getting that step of getting the food to the customer.
So I was driving a lot and I had a lot of time to think. And so I started thinking, what are the design constraints of this business? And so part of it was, it can't be a restaurant if it's going to be more convenient. If I'm going to get it directly to consumers, there has to be a way to distribute it. So I want to sell food 24 hours a day, because I bet there's lots of people in the middle of the night like me who don't have any options. And so that's extra business that nobody else is competing for. So I had this list. I need to manage the inventory. I want to create a personalized relationship with people. So track, you know, help make merchandise the food better, things like that. So it's not just this sad experience where you walk up and pull it off the shelf, right, and inspect it to make sure the lettuce isn't brown or something.
Right, right.
So when I added all that stuff up, I realized that a vending machine was a great mode of delivery and would solve a lot of those problems. So I could put it in places that a restaurant couldn't go. It'd be less expensive to set up. It would keep the product merchandise and perfectly cold. I could track the inventory if I built the right software. So it was really, back solving. Here's the problem I'm trying to solve. What are some of the things that have to be true if I'm going to solve that problem? And then this is what that looks like. I really would never set out to do a vending machine salad business. And even now we do breakfast. Ours actually our best sellers. We do breakfast, lunch, dinner, meal, snacks.
That's amazing.
And yeah.
I read somewhere, I was reading an interview where at first you spent a lot of time in the design of the vending machine. And then you realize that the consumer is coming back for the food. They don't care if it's designed, if it's a floral design, if it's a cool like vibe, that it's really about the food.
Yeah. I mean, to your point about how did we get consumers to try it? And at the beginning, it was like everything in the kitchen sink. So if you look at the pictures of the first fridge, it was in the middle of a food court. And I had actually begged them. I repainted the wall. I bought all these plants. I bought this big AstroTurf thing to put down in front. We had tried like a Persian rug and that didn't look right. And then someone was like, my mother-in-law actually was like, you need to try AstroTurf. And so I put a huge block of AstroTurf in front of it, plants on top that I had to water every week. I mean, we did everything we could think of to make people break their association with a typical vending machine. It was reclaimed wood. Over time, we sort of little by little took some of those elements away to see what really resonated with consumers. And yeah, to your point, what we found is actually the first thing they looked at was the food. So everything else was a distraction. And if you could just keep those avocados green, that was it.
And all this money for marketing, everything that goes in, you're like, yeah. No, it's just about just keep the avocados fresh.
Yeah, exactly. So like everything we do is about investing in that product.
Luke Saunders is in studio. He's the CEO of Farmer's Fridge. You can find him 130 plus locations in Chicago and Milwaukee. When we come back, let's talk about that association. Because I would assume that if you're just telling somebody on the street, oh yeah, I do salads and vending machines, there's a lot to overcome when it comes to the preconceived notions of customers and how you break through in that. Luke Saunders, my guest in the Download in Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business. It's business.
It's Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio tonight, the CEO and founder of Farmer's Fridge, Luke Saunders. We're talking about the 130-plus locations across Chicago and Milwaukee. And essentially, salads and fresh food that are in jars, that are in vending machines. We talked right before about the association, the customer association of food from vending machines. They don't think fresh food. They don't think salads. They don't think breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They think things that I need right now, useless calories.
Yeah.
That I'm going to use, and it's not good for me, but I've got 80 cents, and I gotta take care of this. How do you get past the customer notion of what vending machine food is?
Yeah, so I'll never forget when I first told my friends this idea, and they said, no chance, like, no one will ever get over it, right? There's the food, I don't care how good your food is, I'm like, this is my friends, I'm not going to buy food from you, because that just sounds so wrong. And I think, you know, we spent so much time thinking about it, everything from the jar packaging to the way that the fridge was set up, to really break these associations. So, I mean, I obsessed about it for like 6 months before we launched, and then continue to obsess about it for the last 5 years. And really, ultimately, it's just getting them to try it that first time. And actually, 50% of customers will come back within a month and try it again, as long as they've had that food. And so now it's kind of reached a positive momentum. And what I've learned is, you know, ultimately consumers really do stuff because it's cheaper, faster, better. And that's what we are. We're cheaper, we're faster, and it's better quality food. And so they just, it took that little spark, but they get over the hump and it's great.
The big deal with this, which I find really interesting, is the tech behind it. The software that you have to use, and talk about this, because it's not that you have one guy who's on rounds and he goes to check and see if someone took B4. You know, B10's out. Let's go get a Cobb salad. You don't have those numbers.
Right. It's the B4.
You have software that tells you what has been bought, catalogs it, and knows exactly what needs to be replaced in terms of freshness. That's a big part of this business. It's really the reason why this kind of thing can exist.
Yeah, no, when I was starting the business, one of the reasons I said, why now? You know, why hasn't this been done before? And what I realized is there was this convergence of technology where I could have a connected device, I could use cloud software, we don't have a single server, and I could actually create a direct relationship with my consumers thanks to social media, email, that you could not have done in the past. And so a lot of that, you know, walk in a restaurant, you talk to the person on the other side, mm-hmm. That can now be done digitally. So I knew that we were at this special moment in history where you could tie all that together and create a unique experience for your consumers. And today, the way that it works is you actually have a cost function algorithm. So it sounds really fancy, but it's really just a way of saying that every night we calculate what's the probability of selling that item versus the profitability of sending it out. And then the system runs itself and we make that food and then we put it on a truck and we go out and we deliver it. So it's this really tight 24-hour cycle based on that algorithm that runs every night.
The other issues, of course, quality, as you mentioned, obviously we've seen with salad, with recalls and other situations, and doesn't affect your product, but it could at different times. And as can you be responsive with this software to deal with challenges that come from food issues, from any sort of contamination, things like that?
Yeah. So unlike a normal vending machine, we can remotely lock things out. So if there were ever an issue, we would just lock it. Like you would not be able to buy it. Like press a button and they all go away. And actually, you can see that sometimes people show up on a Sunday night and the fridge doesn't get restocked on the weekend in certain locations. You actually can't buy the product because we've put a freshness meter. Like it just stops selling it. If the power were to go out and the temperature goes up, can't buy the food. So there's a lot of built-in safety features. We also have our whole kitchen is refrigerated, and then we have refrigerated trucks, refrigerated fridges. So everything is this really tight cold chain. And because we have one facility, we actually wash everything in-house. We're processing it in a very tightly controlled environment. So that's a lot of what allows us to control the quality, but also make sure it's safe.
It begs the question about the future of food and the future of food delivery. I mean, we're seeing more and more of this, a premium put on this kind of content and this kind of food, this kind of product. Are you going to see, I mean, put your trend hat on here. Do you envision other people getting into to compete with you, and even big brands, people who, you know, might be the fast foods of yesterday to tomorrow? They're like, you already see these kind of stories that pop up on the Google feeds and of a restaurant in somewhere that's trying robots and cooking burgers. I mean, yeah. do you see people following your lead when it comes to disrupting the food industry?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of people, and even before we started, as we did research, we found that people had tried and failed. And then, you know, people obviously see something successful, they want to replicate it. So I hope we started a trend. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about how many consumers are willing to buy their lunch in this format. And as that market grows, it's good for everybody who's in it. So today, that's a lot more people than when I started. So, you know, 20 lunches a day if we were having a really good day, and now we'll serve thousands of customers in Chicago.
All right. So let me ask the big question about, you know, you started this talking about being a salesman in states like Michigan and Kentucky, and that was your area in the Midwest. How do you see this company growing? I mean, what are the challenges of scaling up here? Can you see a vending machine at a truck stop, a farmer's fridge truck stop? How do you even do that with the fact that you really need fresh ingredients and you need this constant plant watering, if you will? yeah. I mean, how do you see it? Do you see global domination in your future?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about global domination, but we certainly see that the model is working and can get to the places that we want to bring it. So, you know, when I started, going from zero to one machine was like a miracle. And then, you know, one to 10 was sort of like, okay, but 10 to 100 was I mean, to me, way harder than the 100 to 1,000. And a lot of that was because we had to actually prove out the economics of the business. So now we cover all the Chicagoland region. We're up into Milwaukee, and we're doing locations that I never could have done at the beginning. And that continues to be something that is a positive reinforcing cycle. So absolutely. I mean, we have better food quality today. So I used to be the plant manager. I'm a terrible plant manager. we have a real plant manager now. And so actually our quality has improved over time. The menu gets better over time. We get better data. And essentially, you know, a truck stop sounds great. I'll never forget when I first started, a trucker actually sent me an email. Hey, this solves a problem for me. I need you to get into this truck stop. You know, it'll change my life. I'm unhealthy. I need to eat better. And it was like so sad that we couldn't do it then. It just wasn't possible. We had one location, and now we're actually reaching the point. It's just a function of personalizing the menu mix enough by location. So we don't sell the same thing at every fridge. You know, we have different price points and different offerings, whether you're at a location where you may sell a ton of one item and another location where you sell a ton of another. And that's all part of the platform that we've built. So it's really, can we get to that place? Is it on a route? And as we keep building those routes further and further out, it actually gets better.
Yeah. Oh man, I cannot wait to get Farmer's Fridge next time I'm rolling through Kentucky. Luke Saunders is the CEO of Farmer's Fridge, 130 plus locations around Chicago and Milwaukee. You can find them, of course. The salad in a jar is what most Chicagoans know. There's a lot of other options, but salad in a jar and a vending machine in the food court. Luke, thanks so much for being my guest tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.